Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell.
Alrighty, so today we're going to do something a little different than what we normally cover.
Yay!
And I'm really excited because
I'm excited too.
It's kind of an unsolved, solved, missing person, maybe case of Mary Day.
What?
Yeah, my thoughts exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's got a lot of twists and turns in here, and I'm pretty sure the most obvious answer is the correct answer. And we'll go through all of that while I'm telling you her story.
Interesting. Okay, yes. Let's get started.
So I've never heard of Mary Louise Day, but I was listening to my YouTube playlist over the weekend, and this episode came on, and I almost switched it because I was like, I've never even heard of this. And then I read the little description. I was like, okay, we'll try it and see. Yeah, I was speechless. I was like, how has nobody else talked about this?
Holy moly. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm ready.
Enough with the suspense. Let's get on with Mary's story.
I'm like literally at the edge of my seat.
Oh, yes. I love when you're like that.
Yay.
So Mary Louise Day was born on February 19th, 1968 in Little Falls, New York. Her mother was Charlotte Day and her father was Charles Day. She had two younger sisters, Kathy and Sherry. All three sisters had the same mother and father. Unfortunately, Mary and her sisters did not have easy childhoods. They didn't have a stable home life and were in and out of foster homes in their early years because their mom was unable to adequately care for all three girls.
Oh, wow.
While the girls were still in foster care, their mother, Charlotte, divorced their father, Charles. After the divorce, she married another man named William Howe. William enlisted in the U.S. Army in 1975, and Charlotte was able to obtain permanent full custody of Mary and Kathy, the older two of the three girls.
Okay.
And they were removed from foster care. However, the youngest of the three girls, Sherry, had already been adopted by another family before Charlotte was able to regain custody of her children.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that that was possible. I didn't either.
I thought you had to give up your parental rights.
Yeah, or like if you can't have all three of them, like why was only one able to be adopted? Why couldn't all three have been adopted?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm thinking this way because I know how the story goes on. She shouldn't have got any of the kids back.
Oh, God.
In my opinion, Sherry received the best childhood of the three sisters because she wasn't in the custody of her mother and stepfather. When Mary and Kathy returned to their mother and stepfather, their lives were not easy and they were not treated well.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Prior to 1978, Charlotte and William had their first child together, a daughter they named Billie Jean. After Billie Jean was born, William was stationed in Hawaii and the family moved from New York to Hawaii to be with William. I would really like that.
That would be nice.
I know, right?
That would be nice.
I would not complain about having to move to Hawaii.
Nah.
Yeah, I'd be like, don't ever take him to another army station. Just let him stay here forever.
True.
While they were living in Hawaii, Charlotte and William had another child together, and it was their son, and they named him William Jr.
Okay, so now they've got five kids.
They have five kids, but one of them has been adopted, so they only have four kids living with them.
Okay.
They have
okay.
the two older girls, Mary and Kathy, that are for Charlotte's first husband. Mm-hmm. And then they have Billie Jean and William Jr., who are William Howe's full kids with
right.
Charlotte.
Okay.
So while the family was living in Hawaii, Mary and Kathy's biological father died in an accident, and the two girls were left inheritance money. And they wouldn't be able to access the money until they turned 18. And the girls would refer to this money as their way of escaping their unhappy home.
That's how they talked about the money?
Yes. They had an escape plan worked out for when they got the money. And they even had a name for the plan. It was called Mohawk. So they could discuss it without their mom and stepdad hearing and knowing what they were talking about.
Oh, my gosh. They must have had a horrible life.
Yeah. At the time, they're under 10 years old, I think,
or around
the age of 10. So it's like you're already talking about running away from home.
Yeah.
And you're smart enough to know that this inheritance money you're getting, you can use that to escape. but you have to call it something else because you know that your parents are going to beat you or something if they hear you talking about that. Like, I couldn't imagine my kids comprehending all of this at the ages they are now. And that's about how old these girls were.
That's not usually what 10-year-olds talk about, or under 10.
Yeah, like
escaping their home.
Yeah, I don't even know if I would know to come up with a code word. I don't know.
Well, maybe they learned that with their stepdad being in the Army.
Probably so.
Yeah. Heard him using some code names, maybe, and
like, this is cool.
Yeah.
You'll never know.
Code Mohawk.
So things in Mary's life seemed to continue to get worse instead of better. Her stepfather began physically abusing her while they were living in Hawaii.
Oh, gosh.
And the abuse came to the attention of Child Protective Services, and Mary was taken into protective custody in December 1980.
Thank goodness.
Yes. After this happened, the family left Hawaii and moved to another Army base in Seaside, California. Mary remained back in Hawaii in protective services for several months after her family left. Which this kind of got me, like, I think if her family was moving to the States, even with her in protective custody, she should have moved to the States at the same time.
Exchanging protective custody.
Yeah, just protective custody or like whoever, the foster people, whoever she was with. Because, like, did she fly home or back from Hawaii to California on her own whenever she went to live with them? Like, I don't know. It just made me
I think back then they had an escort. They still do, like, for underage kids.
Yeah, that would make sense, because that's what made me nervous when I was reading. I was like, oh my God, she was by herself.
Well, she probably wanted to be that way.
Probably. Yeah, it was probably better being alone than
But don't you know she was worried about her sister?
Yeah.
Like, the whole time that she wasn't in, you know, in their house.
Yeah, like, she was the stepdad's punching bag, so when she left, was he treating her little sister like
that? Yeah, he had to move it somewhere.
Yeah, because he was unwell.
That bitch was unwell.
That bitch was unwell. Okay. And so but it doesn't appear that Mary's sister Kathy or either of her half siblings were treated badly by William Sr.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, he just didn't like Mary.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
He's not a very nice person. Sorry if you're still alive, William.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. Be nice to kids.
If you weren't nice, we are not sorry.
No. Once Mary was released back to her mother from Child Protective Services, she was reunited with mother, stepfather, and the siblings in Seaside, California. And this just blows my mind that Charlotte's children were repeatedly taken from her and put into foster care or protective care, and each time they were returned to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would think after a couple times of your kids being taken away that there would come a point like, hey, you have to do this, this, and this in order to get your kids back, or you're never going to get them back.
And maybe they did, and maybe she did do that.
Yeah. I guess now in 2024, there's probably more oversight than there was in the 80s and 70s because they didn't have the computer systems and everything now. So
true.
Each location really couldn't see, like, oh, hey, she was already taken away in New York and in Hawaii, and now she's here. So, I mean, I guess, like, repeat offenders are easily caught now, but back then, I don't really think California even knew that they had an issue with this mom and her daughters.
You would think that it would be a military issue as well with him being in the Army. Was he in the Army, the Navy?
He was in the Army, and you would think that that would throw up some flags.
Yeah, that he would be under some sort of suspension or probation or...
It doesn't seem like the Army knew about it, or if they knew about it, they didn't do anything about it.
Ouch.
Okay. Yeah, that's what kind of pissed me off, too, when I was reading through all this, because it's like, you're living on a military base, and you just beat up a child, and they got taken away from you.
Yeah, the state of California came in.
Yeah, and they took away your kid. Like,
oh, no, Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
But, like, have you ever been on a military base? The houses there, they're very close together.
Yeah.
I don't think that you could keep it a secret that your child was taken away from you by the government.
Not for long.
Not for long. Somebody's going to see.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to know.
Yep.
But apparently nobody knew, or if they did know, nothing was done. And everything continued on as it was going.
Uh-oh.
In July of 1981, Mary and her sister Kathy were left home alone while her mother, stepfather, and younger siblings went out to eat.
What?
Nice, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. So Mary was 13 and Kathy was 11. And they were left at home alone while the rest of the family went to dinner at a restaurant.
Well, I hope they brought them a doggy bag back.
Oh, well, Well, no.
No?
No, they didn't. And William Sr., he had a dog that was staying with him. And this dog
they brought the dog
like,
back food?
Well, the dog was his best friend, and he got really sick while the other family was at the restaurant. And whenever he got home, the dog was like almost near death in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And Mary and Kathy were petrified because they knew that William was going to turn this on them and say that they did it.
What?
And he did. He accused Mary of poisoning his dog.
What?
I have no idea. She's 13.
Okay.
And the dog went from fine to poisoned in like probably less than 2 hours. Like, I don't think I don't know anything that would even show up that quickly.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe she fed him a bunch of chocolate.
I don't think that was part of Code Mohawk.
No, that definitely was not part of the code.
Mm-mm. Golly.
So after he accused Mary of poisoning his beloved puppy, William jumped to the conclusion, you know, that Mary was trying to murder his dog.
Mm-mm.
And he started beating the shit out of Mary.
Oh, my God.
At one point, Kathy saw William Sr. slam Mary's head into the side of the bathtub.
Oh, no.
And Mary had blood pooling from her mouth. After this night, Kathy never saw Mary again.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yep. So since the family had moved to Seaside around 7 months before this took place, and Mary didn't join the family until several months later, none of the neighbors or friends realized that Charlotte and William Sr. were missing a child.
Oh, my God.
Neither one of the girls had ever been enrolled in school. There was no record of Mary in Seaside, California. And Mary was never reported missing by her parents. And when Kathy asked about Mary, she was told that Mary ran away.
Her mother didn't report her missing.
Her mother did not report her missing.
That's because she knew what happened to her.
That's what everybody thinks, is they're pretty sure that Charlotte knew what happened to Mary and chose not to report her because her husband would go to jail, and she probably would too, because I'm sure she wasn't innocent in this situation.
Oh my God.
She obviously wasn't protecting Mary from him. The family eventually moved back to New York, and while they were in New York, Sherry, Mary's younger sister that was adopted, was 12 at the time, and she went to stay with her biological family for a short visit.
What?
Yeah.
I guess maybe it was an open adoption?
Maybe so. I mean, I guess it was because she was in foster care at the time.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this, but I guess it could still be a thing. It was a thing in the early 90s.
Yeah, which is great to keep siblings in contact with each other.
Yeah, because at this time, Kathy only has Sherry as a full-time or a full-blooded sibling. I mean, she still has Billie Jean and William Jr., but I don't know how close they were.
Mm.
While Sherry was visiting, she asked Charlotte where Mary was. And she was told that Mary ran away, was addicted to drugs, and was a prostitute.
Oh, the worst of the worst.
There is nothing good about Mary. Every bad thing that could possibly happen, she's doing it right now because she's a terrible person. At the age of 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Charlotte also told Sherry that she had burned all the pictures of Mary that she had. Now, why would you burn pictures of your child, even if she ran away? Like, why?
Was she angry with her, like, for leaving her, she thought?
I guess, like, Sherry and Kathy took it as they were trying to get rid of any evidence that Mary even existed. She wanted all traces of her to be gone.
Yeah, and she probably did that. So nobody would even know that they had a daughter.
Nobody knew.
Okay.
And especially since they had moved from California to New York, like they showed up with 3 kids there. No questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
That night when Kathy and Sherry had laid down to go to sleep, Sherry asked Kathy what happened to Mary. And Kathy told her that they were not allowed to speak about Mary. And nothing else was said while Sherry was at this visit. At the age of 18, Sherry started questioning the statements her biological mother, Charlotte, had made. And when getting in touch with her, she was appalled by her birth mother's callous disregard for her sister's whereabouts. She asked Charlotte repeatedly, what happened to Mary? Where is Mary? Where did she go? Mm-hmm. Who is she with?
Mm-hmm.
And anything that she asked Charlotte, she kept detailed notes in a notebook.
Oh.
Dated, question asked, what they answered, so she would never...
Little future investigator
Yes, she was doing her own investigation, so later on, she would know exactly what her mom said. She could see if her story changed. Very smart of her.
Mm-hmm.
And one statement that she wrote down really stood out to her. And she told police that she remembered her mother proclaiming that she knew of locations in California in which one could hide a corpse and never have it found.
Why would you even say something like that?
I have no idea. Like, are you trying to scare her? Or is this like a legitimate... like an intimidating thing. Yeah. Like, I know how to hide a body, so you better quit asking me questions or the same thing's going to happen to you. Like, maybe Sherry won't ask anything after she says this, which... Mm-hmm. That would have just been like, okay, I'm not going to ask you anything in person. We can talk over the phone. Yeah. And I'm still going to go to the police.
We'll write letters.
Yes. You're not making my fears less at all by telling me this.
Mm-mm.
So after she was told this, Sherry really began to believe that Mary had been murdered the night that she disappeared.
Yeah.
After this, Sherry filed a missing persons report with the Fort Ord military base in California, which is where they were living at the time.
Good for her.
When the missing persons report was filed, it had been 11 years since anyone in the family had seen or spoken to Mary. And because of this, there wasn't much of an investigation into Mary's disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
When Sherry returned to her home from California, she received a postcard from the police stating that a record search was done and no information about Mary was found.
Oh.
So this is where it comes in, like, she wasn't registered in school.
Right.
She wasn't listed as living in their home. Like, there was
Mary didn't exist.
Mary did not exist when they moved to California. And it's just like...
That's crazy how easy that can happen.
Yeah. And I mean, especially a 13-year-old, like, there's not... I feel like there's not even now.
There would be a record of her transferring from Hawaii to California.
California. You would think if she was in school in Hawaii... Mm-hmm. In late 1999, Sherry sent Mary's information and picture to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Mm. Once NCMEC received Mary's information, an age-progressed image was created showing what Mary would potentially look like as a 31-year-old woman.
I think that's so cool.
That is so cool.
And it's so crazy how they're always, like, right.
Yes. Like, yeah. It's...
Well, I don't know about always.
It's crazy how they
get it on point sometimes.
Yeah, they might not be like exactly right, but it's like, okay, her hair's not blonde, it's brown now, and her eyes are a little farther apart, but it's like you can see the picture. I'm like, that does actually, I know her.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was on the Charlie Project, and it's a site where they have Jane Does, John Does, and all that, and they have a bunch of like reconstructions.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, well, some of them are like, amazing, but some of them are scary ass.
What?
Yes. I'm going to have to pull up some of the pictures because it's like, I know, like, some of the bodies when they're found, they're very damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And it's back in, like, the 70s and 80s. And mm-hmm. so, like, the picture that you get, it's like, this is not a person.
Right.
This is not what they look like.
Yeah.
And, like, on Reddit, they have a bunch of, like, Grateful Does and Jane Doe, John Doe websites.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll pull a picture off of the website and see and, like, compare it to missing people and stuff. And they've actually found quite a few people that were originally a John or Jane Doe. And now they have their name back.
Wow.
And with, like, all of the ancestry and 23andMe, they have DNA out there. They can find out.
Yeah.
Who's related, like, okay, somewhere down the line. That's pretty neat.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I'll have to send you the link for Reddit.
Yeah.
The subreddits, you can look at it. It gets addicting.
I know. Yeah. Like, I need another addiction in my life.
Yeah. This Mary Day sent me down a rabbit hole on Reddit. I had to extricate myself from it.
Oh, God. Well, you came out of it just fine.
I did. I don't think I lost much hair or anything.
No.
Definitely didn't lose any weight, so we're fine with that.
Oh, God. Oh, goodness.
Okay. In 2002, Sherry spoke to police again regarding Mary's disappearance, and an official investigation was finally opened. I know. After, what, 20 years?
Yeah, poor baby.
Fort Ord was being shut down at the time, and all of their cold cases that had been associated with the base were being reviewed by law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And her family were the only ones who knew about Mary's disappearance.
Imagine that.
Their neighbors were unable to recall them and did not recognize pictures of Mary, who had not been enrolled in school while living in Seaside.
Mm.
So... it was basically Sherry and Kathy's word against everybody else at the base because nobody else knew Mary existed, and her parents were acting like she was never there.
You're crazy, yeah.
Yeah. The police spoke with Kathy, who was able to give a more detailed account of the night of Mary's disappearance. She went into detail about her and Mary being left home alone and the fight between Mary and William Sr. Mm-hmm. When the family returned from the restaurant, Kathy concluded her recollection by stating that the last time she saw Mary, she had blood coming out of her mouth.
God, poor kid.
The next morning, Kathy said Mary was no longer in the house. Kathy informed the police that her parents were not very good parents, and when she was 14, she was kicked out of the house and was forced to live on her own.
At 14?
At 14, Kathy was kicked out. So 1 year older than what Mary was when she disappeared.
Yeah.
Kathy was out.
And this was in the New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they were in New York, but yeah, she's out of the house. And her birth dad is dead, so she's right. Like...
Yeah.
I mean, how do you survive on your own as a 14-year-old?
I don't know. How did she, or do you know?
It didn't go into detail about how she survived. I'm sure it wasn't
the best. That blows my mind.
Yeah. And I mean, at 14, she could still go into a foster system, and she should have. She shouldn't have been allowed to be...
I guess they didn't want to alert... Yeah. ...have any contact with the foster...
Foster system.
Yeah, because maybe they'd be asking about Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, because they had already been in New York before, and Mary was mm-hmm. in the system there.
Yeah.
So if Kathy was brought back in, she could easily be like, well, look,
you're
I don't know where Mary's
one
at.
Kid. Where's the other one?
Where's your other one, man?
Yeah.
After interviewing both Kathy and Sherry, investigators also began to believe that Mary had been murdered on the night of her disappearance. In addition to Kathy and Sherry, investigators were able to track down Charlotte and William Howe. They live in Kansas now, and they were interviewed by their local police.
Okay.
Charlotte reported not remembering many of the facts regarding her daughter's disappearance and that the last time she saw Mary was in 1981 when she ran away.
And didn't bother to file a missing child.
Yep. She admitted that she and William should have taken steps to locate Mary after her initial disappearance, but instead they did nothing.
Yeah, well, that's what normal people do, right?
Exactly. I mean, you have a kid. They're 13. Yeah. You can be on your own. You're fine.
You know, I haven't seen her in about 10 years.
Mm, it's been, what, 20, 30 years now?
Yeah.
Pretty sure she existed at one time.
Yeah,
I don't
she's
know.
She's probably fine.
She seemed really capable as a 13-year-old. She went on to claim that William had filed a runaway report with the Salinas Police Department.
Oh.
But there was no record of anyone reporting her missing prior to 1992.
Mm-hmm. When her sister did it. Mm-hmm.
Charlotte had also lied to Sherry when meeting her in 1983 in New York by saying that they had listed her as missing and mm-hmm. had searched for her.
Yeah.
Even had an all-points bulletin placed. Oh. To help find her, mm-hmm. all of this was lies. When the police investigated, none of this existed. None of this was true.
You're a princess, Charlotte.
She is.
And William.
Mother and father of the freaking year.
Mother and father of the motherfucking year.
Exactly. It was assumed that Charlotte and William chose not to report Mary missing because they were cashing her Social Security benefits at the time of her disappearance.
Oh, from her biological dad passing away, she got benefit?
It was from her dad.
That would have to be.
And then when she would have turned 18, they got the inheritance money for Mary.
How did they have that when Mary didn't exist?
I have no idea how they...
Like, how'd they get that?
Yeah. And, like, Kathy wasn't there either, so they couldn't even lie and say, well, yeah, this is Mary, and she's 18 now, and she wants... Mm-hmm. So I have no idea how they got their hands on the money, but they did, and they had no problem in spending money that should have been for Mary. Investigators and Mary's siblings thought they had been hiding something sinister about Mary's disappearance. Mm-hmm. Enforced by Charlotte saying in her interview... If Mary's dead, she's dead.
Oh, that hurt. That hurt my heart.
How do you say that about your child? I mean, she's probably dead. She's dead. I mean,
well, obviously, what am I supposed we know to do? She doesn't care about her, but that sentence hurt my heart.
Yeah, that teared me up a little bit when I was listening mm-hmm. and reading things about her. I'm just like, you're so nonchalant about your 13-year-old daughter just being gone, and you just assume she's dead, and it's no big deal. When police questioned William, he initially claimed that on the night of Mary's disappearance, he had been checking each bedroom and noticed Mary was not in hers. He said he and Charlotte panicked and contacted police, but there was no record of such a phone call. William would later admit to beating Mary on the night she was last seen. He explained that he was extremely angry over his dog's illness and blaming her and viciously beating her.
God, what a winner.
He said that Mary attempted to leave the house and that he used a chokehold to try and subdue her.
So you don't just beat her,
you choke her out.
Oh, God.
The morning after Mary went missing, Charlotte told William she saw Satan in his eyes the night before and likened it to him being possessed by a demon. When police asked if he could have killed Mary, he denied it. He was then asked if the demon inside of him could have killed her, and he responded in the affirmative.
What?
Yeah, this just blows my freaking mind.
Okay, Charlotte, you see the demon in this dude's eyes, and you remain with him?
Yeah.
And lie for him?
And lie and back him up. You believe his story, or you pretend to believe his story. You don't care enough about your kid to really worry about it.
So she thought he looked like Satan. What did she think of her daughter, Mary? Not much.
Not much. She's more worried about William and his dog.
God.
Which, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my dogs, but you're not going to beat my 13-year-old child. Sorry.
So he's confirming that there is a demon inside of him.
Yes.
Okay.
He believed that there was a demon inside of him that night. Okay. Never again. Just that one night.
Just the one night.
Yeah. I guess, like, maybe Charlotte performed an exorcism on him afterwards.
Maybe.
And he quit speaking in tongues and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
Or he's just full of shit and is a child abuser. One of those has to be, and a murderer. One of them has to be true.
Or both.
Or both. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably both.
Or all three. He is Satan.
He is.
He's a child abuser.
Yes.
And he's a child murderer.
They all three could very much be true.
Mm.
Kathy told investigators that shortly after Mary went missing, William told the children not to go in a specific corner of the home's backyard. Yeah. Okay. Investigators brought Kathy back to the old home in 2003, and she directed them to the corner. Cadaver dogs were brought in, and they detected the scent of human remains in the area.
Uh-oh.
When police dug there, they uncovered a small child's shoe.
Oh, God.
The shoe appeared to be a tennis shoe, and Kathy said they often wore that type of footwear as children.
Mm-hmm.
This was over 20 years later, since Mary had disappeared, so I really don't think Kathy would remember the exact shoe that her sister wore.
Right.
And, like, I went back to try to, how far back can I remember a pair of shoes that I had? And I remember in second grade, there were those ones that you could, like, press a button and pump them up or something.
But pump up the jam. Yeah. Pump it up.
I remember sitting outside the classroom waiting for class to start and playing with that little pump.
Shoes.
But I can't tell you what color they were or anything like that. I just remember that. And they're supposed to make you jump high, and they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't work,
did
they?
This white girl can't jump.
No. Can't fly, can't jump.
Can't fly, can't jump.
Damn it.
There's not a lot going on. The shoe that was found in the backyard was also the size of one of the investigators' palms, which I think would be way too small for a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
However, investigators believed that they had enough evidence to build a credible homicide case and began to compile one against Charlotte and William.
Okay.
In 2008, cadaver dogs that had been working on an unrelated matter alerted near a second home where the house had lived at the Army base in Fort Ord. This was the house that they had moved to shortly after Mary disappeared.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're thinking that they murdered Mary, buried her in the corner that they told the kids not to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they moved, they dug her up and brought her with them to the other home and buried her there. And so that's why cadaver dogs at both locations alerted.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the ones that were at the second house were not even there because of Mary. They were there for a completely different case. But when when they alerted there and they went back and looked at the previous occupants, they were a big red flag sticking out. It's like, they're missing a child.
Might be something here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Several months after Mary's parents were interviewed, on November 25th, 2003, a pickup truck was pulled over on a routine traffic stop.
So, wait a minute. When the cadaver dogs hit on the second home, nothing was found?
Nothing was found there.
Okay.
But they put that towards, there was one there, but it was probably dug up. But
just
they didn't
another mark on the board.
Yeah. They didn't find any hard evidence. Yeah, it made them look real, real bad. The mm-hmm. evidence wasn't stacking up on the good side. It was all going against them.
Okay.
So the truck that they pulled over had stolen license plates, leading the police to collect and examine the identification of the passengers. One of the passengers was a woman whose Arizona State identification card bore the name Mary Day.
Excuse me?
This also contained the missing Mary's birth date and other pertinent information. The woman was detained, and when she was interviewed, she claimed that she ran away from her home to avoid abuse from Charlotte and William Howe.
What?
Investigators were skeptical as to the credibility of her accounts, owing to the fact that she had a thick Southern accent, and Mary Day did not have an accent, and she had never lived in the Southern states where she would have picked up such an accent.
Okay.
Police also discovered that her identification had been issued 3 weeks prior to her arrest, which is around the time that the homicide investigation began.
Oh.
So it's okay. A real, real strange coincidence.
It's real strange.
And this woman was adamant that she was Mary Day and that they could take her
was
DNA.
Was she the age that Mary she Day was, would have been?
She was the right, well, according to her license, they had the same birth date. And she did resent, like, she was within the age range.
Yeah. Okay.
And so she was adamant to police that they needed to take her DNA and test it because it would come back that she was Mary Day.
Oh, crap.
So they did, and they tested her DNA against Charlotte's, and this woman was Charlotte's daughter. That was her biological mother.
Okay.
So the police still just, there was something off about the woman. There were certain things that she couldn't remember that they thought that she should have remembered because they were pretty important events in
like
her life.
Living in Hawaii or?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she told them, well, test it against my dad. You're going to see that I am Mary Day. My DNA will match both of my parents. So they did. And
what, they dug him up? How did they get?
I guess maybe from one of the daughters, they were able, like either Sherry or Kathy, they were able to pull their DNA or compare their DNA to hers. And she was a full sibling of Sherry and Kathy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm confused as hell now.
Yeah. I told you she's missing, not missing, murdered.
Okay.
When the DNA came through, it was confirmed that she was a biological child of Charlotte and Charles Day.
And stating that she was Mary Day.
Yes.
Okay.
And the investigators that were doing the research right now and investigating the case actually thought that she might have been an older child of Charlotte and Charles and that they had put her up for adoption. And the younger children just didn't know about it. And whenever Charlotte and William were beginning to be investigated for murder, they tracked down this girl and said, hey, look, we'll give you money or something if you go and register yourself as Mary Day. And you're my kid, you know, the DNA and everything is going to match, but you're not Mary, but you can say you are. And then the case will be closed.
That sounds so complex.
It does, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the investigation into Mary's disappearance was closed.
Mm.
And her sister, Sherry, invited her to live with her and her family in North Carolina. Despite the DNA match, Kathy and Sherry also had doubts of Mary's true identity due to her Southern accent and her unwillingness or inability to give a coherent, logical explanation of what actually happened to her after she disappeared from the family home in 1981. Kathy did not believe Mary since she did not remember much from her childhood, including the inheritance and the code word Mohawk.
Oh!
Like, that's a huge...
Yeah.
Like...
You plan your whole escape around the code word Mohawk and you don't remember that code word?
Yeah. And that seems to be a really big event and thing in her life with her and her sister. And she has no idea what she's talking about.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So Sherry noticed that while Mary was living with her, she was having magazines and mail delivered to her address, but the name on the address was Monica Devereaux.
Oh.
Yeah. And
Devereaux, E-A-U-X?
Mm-hmm.
That's about as southern as you get.
Exactly. You don't see many Devereaux's in New York.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and
God.
Mary was like, well, it's still the same initials, M-D. And it's like, I mean, yeah,
and?
But me and my brother-in-law have the same initials. And I mean, that doesn't mean... So? Like, there's probably millions of people that yeah. have the same initials.
Yeah.
So during her stay with Sherry in North Carolina, Mary exhibited bizarre behaviors that led Sherry to theorize that Mary, or the woman staying with her, had multiple personality disorder.
Uh-oh.
Mary often told rambling stories that were disjointed and had no logical timelines.
Mm.
Later, questions to Mary would elicit different answers than previous ones.
Mm-hmm.
And during her stay in North Carolina,
you cannot cross up Sherry.
Mm-mm, she's got it
written in her journal.
Yes, she knows. Like, yeah. Look,
you don't mess with Sherry.
12 days, 7 hours, and 16 minutes ago, you gave me a completely different answer. I would want Sherry on my side.
Me too. Team Sherry.
Team Sherry. Oh, man. During her stay in North Carolina, she made several attempts to overdose with Tylenol. And was a severe alcoholic.
Oh, God.
She also became violent at times, causing a break in the relationship with her sister, Sherry, who had small children in her home at the time.
Uh-oh.
Mary took a bus back to Arizona, where she eventually married a man with the surname of Gessler. They moved from Arizona to Missouri, and she stayed in Missouri until her death in 2017.
Well, I guess it was the Tylenol that got her.
Well, she had cancer, but they think it had something to do with like her liver or something like that.
I got you.
In 2017, with Mary's health failing, Judy Villas, the acting chief of the Seaside Police Department, took a look at the case.
Mm-hmm.
And Villas told 48 Hours that she traveled to Mary's home in Missouri to speak with her face to face. Mary told Judy Villas about a woman she stayed with not long after she ran away, named Maury Kimmel.
Okay.
So the detective went and she tracked down Maury Kimmel and she mm-hmm. spoke to her about Mary. And mm-hmm. Kimmel said that Mary won her heart and she took care of Mary for a year before she ran away again. And at the time Mary was staying with her, she was about 15 years old.
Okay.
Kimmel was hoping that Mary would have stayed around and she could have found her forever home with Kimmel and her family, mm-hmm. but it was not to be. While Detective Villas continued to track down details of Mary's life after vanishing, one of Maury Kimmel's relatives had a photo that would help turn the case around.
Mm-hmm.
A photo of Mary taken at least a year after the alleged murder. This photo was compared to known photos of Mary, and it was determined with a 99% accuracy that the girl in the picture was Mary Day.
What?
Yes. So with this photo, Detective Villas submitted her report and closed the Mary Day investigation for good.
Okay.
In 2017, Sherry, who still had doubts, visited Mary in Missouri. Sherry was still in search of answers. After the meeting, Sherry told reporters that she found her answer, that the mysterious woman is her sister, Mary. Not long after this visit, Mary passed away.
Mm.
And that is the story of Mary Day.
Holy moly.
Some investigators are still in doubt that the woman who died in 2017, claiming she was Mary, was actually Mary. But the remaining living family members of Mary believe that she had been found.
Well, I get maybe she just had like a split personality and maybe she changed her name so she couldn't be found. But if you've got, damn, Mary.
I know.
You've got these plans with your sister and I guess being beaten almost to death, maybe.
That was one thing. They said she had head trauma from the night that she was beat. So like maybe she had memory loss or like maybe it was such a traumatic time that she help heal herself, she blocked those memories.
Right.
But I don't know. It's so strange.
It had to be pretty severe head trauma.
Yeah. And it's very odd that she just so happened to get an identification 3 weeks after they opened up a murder investigation against her mother and stepfather. Yeah. But, I mean, what are the chances that she would have been in a vehicle that got pulled over, too? But then she did tell people, they're like, why did you wait like 20 years to get an ID? And she's like, well, she had to have some type of surgery done. And so she had to get an ID for the state to pay for her surgery.
And did she think she was Monica Devereaux for 20 years?
Yeah. Like, I don't know where that name came from. And like the Kimmel woman that she lived with a year after she disappeared, she said that she went by Mary at the time that she was living there.
Yeah.
And she had no idea why she left. She just took off. She was there one day, happy, hanging out with Maury's daughters, and then the next day she was gone. And they never heard from her again. And it's
still... And this Kimmel woman, they lived around the area that she was living in?
No, I think she was from around the Nevada area.
Okay.
So went from California to Nevada to Arizona, but that still doesn't explain where she got her accent from, because she said that she lived in Arizona for the majority of her life.
Huh.
Yeah. And like you said, Devereaux is such a Cajun name. You don't see that name very often outside of certain southern states.
But you know, also with head injuries, that can affect your speech, I think.
Yeah.
It affects all your motor skills.
And she was an alcoholic as her life went
on. Maybe she was just slurring. Maybe it wasn't an accident.
Yeah. I mean, she could have just had head trauma and she was a drunk and she did drugs. And
yeah.
Yeah. So we believe that Mary Day was found alive and died in 2017 of natural causes.
Well.
That statement at the beginning made sense now, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I'm totally blown away. And I'm still like, did they find her? Like her dead body?
Did you go and check and make sure? Well, that's another thing.
Because they're so vague and just...
Well, the place that she was living at didn't tell anybody that she had died. And like her family didn't bury her. This assisted living place that she was living in, they buried her and had a funeral and everything without her family knowing.
Yeah, so
just to add one more thing in there to kind of muddy the waters.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if Mary had said, hey, don't tell anybody like that I died. I'm not close to my family and stuff.
And Charlotte and William, like what happened to them?
The case was closed and the investigation against them was stopped. It's like, why did those dogs find cadaver smells in two different yards that they had lived in?
Right.
It's just...
I mean, nobody has that much bad luck.
No, I would hope not. I hope I don't ever have that much bad luck.
Golly.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like, my mind is blown. Like, is it Mary? Did Charlotte have another daughter that was taken away from her before her other three daughters? Because we already know she had three kids taken away from her.
And all good questions.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, this will never be answered unless they find a body of a 13-year-old child.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a
DNA match.
I mean, they did DNA. The woman emphatically states that she's Mary.
Yeah.
Maybe she just had, I don't know.
Yeah.
Lived in a distorted world because of a brain injury, maybe?
Maybe so. Childhood trauma.
Yeah. Oof.
I told you this is a good one.
It's a rough one.
My head was just
my head is spinning. Yes,
what?
I can't comprehend.
I cannot comprehend this. And there really wasn't a lot of like news articles and stuff out about her, which I would have thought this would have blown up, because this is like
for
show. It's 2017.
Yeah, it's not that far off.
Mm-mm. But like most of my references were from CBS News.
Yeah.
That was like, there was like 12 different articles that they wrote about her within like I think it was like between 2020 and 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all like this, like it's probably her, but there is still the possibility that it's not.
99.99% that it's her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're almost positive.
Wow. Very interesting.
I know. I thought you would like this one.
Well, I hope that it was Mary.
I do too. And I hope she lived a good life after she left.
Doesn't sound like she did.
Doesn't.
Sounds like she had a brief stint.
Yeah. I think if she would have stayed with the Kimmels, she really did have it as good there as the Kimmel lady stated, that would have been her best bet.
Maybe something scared her and she hauled ass.
And like, I kind of wonder
to be found
she moved around often because she didn't want anybody to be able to track her down. So that's why she used a different name and everything. But
it's a terrible way to live.
Yeah.
Well, this was interesting and confusing and enlightening and disturbing.
I hope you enjoyed it.
I did thoroughly.
Excellent. Excellent.
I did. And hopefully it didn't resolve in a murder, so, you know.
Yeah, hopefully there was no murder involved.
That's right.
A loser that beat children, but...
So we have a semi-happy ending.
Yeah.
Right?
Kind of, yeah. Almost. This is like our first happy ending, kind of.
We didn't give it to you hard like we promised, but it's coming.
You'll get it hard. You'll get it real hard.
You're going to get it real hard. So just keep preparing yourself for that one, okay?
Oh, shoot.
All right. Thanks for listening.
And we'll catch you next week with another episode of Bitches Who Are
Unwell.
We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly unwell.